No fooling around this time. It's Big News Wednesday. It's not just Big News Wednesday, J.R. Jackson, host of the Watchlist. It's Big Breaking News Wednesday. Oh, so thank you for joining us.
I feel like I should start sliding in. It's more fun as well.
Okay, let's.
Hello.
I like you almost overshot the mark. That could have been dangerous, but we're glad to have you here. Glad to be breaking down the news. Big stuff happening this morning. And you know, so your show is before ours every single day. So there's always the risk that with big news, you'll have to talk about it twice, which isn't ideal for you. But this time, we're getting fresh JR.
It's crazy.
Didn't even know about this story.
Yeah, usually I'm spoiled. But the thing is I always have something to say because I talk too much in the first place. So there's always something. But I'm glad it's fresh. It's breaking. Yeah. And I have no idea what happened.
Yeah. It's not the worst thing in the world. First of all, you're a professional. Look it up in the book. Second of all, there's never enough time to say everything you want to say anyway. So having a second going, it's kind of nice sometimes. So anyway, we will be giving you the updates on Letitia James filing lawsuits against Trump. But I want to be clear about the rundown that you've now strapped yourself to. Like a booster rocket, it has multiple stages of lawsuits. The Letitia James thing, the breaking news, that's the new thing. We already had a new lawsuit against Trump on the rundown, so get ready for that. And Ron DeSantis suits against him. It's lawsuit season, everybody. Tastes like pumpkin spice. Anyway, lots of other news. We're gonna be giving an update on the protests going on, continuing in Iran. We've got a block of bad cops. It took us a while to identify a couple of bad cop stories, but we found it. We have crack researchers. We found enough to fill a block. And then really dramatic news, polling on Trump versus DeSantis. Ooh, a little bit of drama there. And one of the saddest sacks in America appears to be laying the groundwork for a presidential run. And I just think that JR is gonna have a lot of fun with this story. So we've got that, we've got impending nuclear war. We got lots of stuff in the aftermath. So everybody stay tuned, hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're here and live. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
I think so. I'm just commenting on my slide. I think it was pretty damn good. I gotta be honest.
I do think it was one of the best slides. Honestly, Francesca and I are gonna do top 10 slides next Monday for members content. Might be number one. But anyway, let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
Following a comprehensive 3-year investigation by my office, including witnesses, interviews with more than 65 witnesses, and review of millions of documents that were submitted by Mr. Trump and others, I am announcing that today we are filing a lawsuit against Donald Trump for violating the law as part of his efforts to generate profits for himself, his family, and his company. The complaint demonstrates that Donald Trump falsely inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to unjustly enrich himself and to cheat the system, thereby cheating all of us.
That announcement breaking just this morning, Letitia James, New York Attorney General, launching a $250 million lawsuit against Donald Trump and his family for literally decades of pervasive intentional fraud. That is absolutely massive. And the details are fascinating, as well as what might come from this beyond just this suit. So let's give you some of those details. For 20 years, they say, Donald Trump and his family enriched themselves through, quote, numerous acts of fraud and misrepresentations. They say he grossly inflated the former president's net worth by billions of dollars, thereby cheating lenders and others with false and misleading financial statements. So $250 million, that is what they are seeking for New York as well. And this is spicy, a prohibition on any of the Trumps leading a company in the state of New York, which is bad news for the Trumps. Might be good news for the businesses because they probably will have a lower chance of going bankrupt as soon as the Trumps are no longer in charge, but bad news for the family though. And before we dive into the specific examples cited by Letitia James coming through this 3-year investigation, I do want to remind you that while there have been many years of great reporting on Donald Trump, individual acts of insurance fraud and tax fraud and bank fraud and all of that, I do want to give a little bit of credit to the individual who raises to, I think for the first time, a national conversation, which was, and you might recall when this happened, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Remember just a few years ago, she was asking questions of Michael Cohen, and she got him to detail how exactly this inflating and deflating scam is run. And that really got a lot of people talking about this and investigating it. So with that said, we're gonna jump into the specific instances, which are bonkers when you hear the numbers. But JR, I know this is the first that you're hearing about this. What do you think about the fact that this New York AG investigation, which we've been following for some time, is now bearing fruit to the tune of $250 million?
I wonder at this point, folks who aren't the wonks that go through all this every day and then keep track of all the lawsuits and illegal activities and then campaign donations and then moves and then the back and forth between these politicians and the law pursuing them and the threats. The people that go through all of that craziness and then destroy their lives like we do, if they really are keeping track of the level of potential really illegal activity that's now coming to their doorsteps, and if they just see it as, oh, they're coming after them because of an October surprise, which we've seen from another one of Trump's attorneys when she was talking about the search at Mar-a-Lago. It's an October surprise. Steve Bannon was turned himself in. October surprise. Bro, it's September. And in fact, all this stuff was happening in August too. And to go even further back than that, all this stuff about Trump companies and them frauding people and skirting tax rules and then skimming off the top and then changing how much money he's making and all that, the reason why to this day we still haven't publicly seen his tax returns is because this will reveal all of that. He hides it and they do it constantly. But the one thing that has happened is Donald Trump likes to brag about how he skirted laws. He likes to brag about what he's done. We've known about this since we first ran for president. This isn't new information. It's just finally someone's doing something about it. But they'll deny that ever happened when you can easily bring up the tapes and go, this guy named Donald Trump is apparently disagreeing with this other guy named Donald Trump who said he didn't do what he previously said he always does.
Yep.
I don't see how you get away from it. Gotta be honest.
And
I'm trying to tell people who don't listen, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I know 100%. I mean, he's been bragging about how clever, how smart he is for gaming the system. Well, you wanna see what gaming the system looks like? Let's talk about how you game the system. So among other allegations, the suit claims that the former president's Florida estate and golf course, Mar-a-Lago, site of very high profile FBI raids recently, was valued as high as $739 million, but should have been valued at around one-tenth that amount, $75 million. The suit says that higher valuation was based on the false premise that it was unrestricted property and could be developed for residential use, even though Mr. Trump himself signed deeds donating his residential development rights and sharply restricting changes to the property. So they did that for benefit and then pretended later that they hadn't done it for massive financial benefit. You can't do both. You can't have your cake and eat it too in that particular fraudulent sense. They say that he, through persistent and repeated business fraud, convinced banks to lend money to the Trump organization on more favorable terms than deserved. Back in 2012, there was a statement that valued rent stabilized apartments in the Trump Park Avenue property as if they could be rented at market value. As a result, units collectively worth $750,000 were valued at nearly $50 million. This is not just fraud. This is the greediest, boldest, barefaced fraud that I've ever seen in the real estate context. Get Trump Turnberry Golf Course in Scotland valued at nearly $127 million. But the suit says that since it opened in 2017, the golf course has operated at a loss each year. And this, by the way, this is just like a sampling. This is like just a sampler platter of all the times that they have conveniently raised the value of things artificially and then lowered the value, for instance, to not pay as high taxes, not pay as much in insurance, back and forth and back and forth year after year to benefit themselves, defrauding banks, defrauding insurance companies and all of that. And so we're gonna have to see. This is a suit being filed by the AG on the part of New York. They have also now referred to the Southern District of New York for criminal investigation as well. There's been no confirmation yet about whether that's gonna happen, and I wouldn't expect that we'd know that for a little bit, but that's now civil and criminal, potentially two new avenues of litigation against Donald Trump to add to what's already going on in Georgia, the Fulton County case that we've talked about, as well as the fact that the DOJ has their classified documents thing. So look, this seems like the storm, I guess, but it's really just the obvious consequence of a guy who routinely flaunts the law, breaks the law openly, intentionally, repeatedly. Those chickens are now coming home to roost.
It's crazy. But again, this shouldn't be something that would keep people or change someone's minds on elections that has nothing to do with him, unless they connect it that way. And that seems to be the way they may be wanting to connect these things. So I don't worry. I was going to say I worry, but I don't worry about it. But I wonder, I guess, is a better term, as to how many people really would see this as they're just coming for him, because that's the narrative that they're pushing now. But when you commit this many blatant, as you point out, not even just like trying to hide it, blatant right in front of you, stupid crimes, you're like, there's no way anybody's that stupid. You're going to value your properties at that much of a difference for the sake of making more money. He's going to do a lot more grifting, a lot more asking for campaign donations, a lot more campaign donations, a lot more of his election defense funds, and a lot more of that to pay for this $250 million that he's being sued over here in this civil suit. But I guess until the criminal charges come in one of the 17 to 18 cases that he's potentially facing criminally, we'll see. But that's what I'm waiting on. We've seen him, you know, Trump University have to settle as well. They've been through this before. We'll see if it even gets to that point.
Yeah, yeah. And if they do settle, I'm sure it'll be lower. She apparently rejected some sort of settlement offer that we don't have details on that was earlier. It was within the last month, I believe. So we'll see. But I've got breaking news inside of the breaking news coming from a broken brain. Do you know what we're about to turn to? Can you guess? I've been waiting for Donald Trump's response to Letitia James' lawsuit for $250 million being filed against him. And as of the last few minutes, he has done what I'm sure his lawyers would have preferred he not do, which is bleat about it on Truth Social, sending out, I would say for him, a measured professional messaging around this, designed to limit the damage to him and uphold the honor of a former president. And it goes like this. Another witch hunt by a racist attorney general, Letitia James. She's very racist. She hates the whites. That's why she's coming after me for tax fraud, I guess. I don't know. Who failed in a run for governor, getting almost zero support from the public, and is now doing poorly against highly respected Michael Henry. I never thought this case would be brought until I saw her really bad poll numbers. She is a fraud who campaigned on a Get Trump platform, despite the fact that the city is one of the crime and murder disasters of the world under her watch. And then 10 minutes go by and he thinks, no, no, I need more. Attorney General Letitia Peekaboo James, let's return to that, because there's a lot invested in that. A total crime fighting disaster in New York is spending all of her time fighting for very powerful and well-respected banks and insurance companies who were fully paid, made a lot of money, and never had a complaint about me, instead of fighting murder and violent crime, which is killing New York State. She is a failed AG whose lack of talent in the fight against crime is causing record numbers of people and companies to flee New York. Bye-bye.
Oh my God.
You will notice that amongst all of that, and there's a lot there, I don't think he ever even claims that he didn't do any of this. I didn't see anywhere where he said I didn't commit fraud. He seemed to say, oh, I did it, but the banks made money, so all's cool.
Jesus.
Sarah, I almost don't even want to inquire into this. What is with the Letitia Peekaboo James?
That's something that needs to be asked, because I can speculate.
I don't even know.
I mean,
it feels like it's probably deeply racist. I don't know. Does anyone else get that feeling like in their gut, like it's some sort of weird 4chan racist thing? I don't know. I don't know.
Really,
what do
you
think?
Gut. It's more from the way he says and does things. It's tracks is the reason why. If someone else that doesn't regularly say and insinuate racist things all the time, you may go, hey, you might want to maybe change your choice of words. Think about it. And then they go, oh yeah, that does sound bad. No, this is purposeful. Those things he says like that are purposeful. And also, by the way, bleat, that he's bleeding this out is a very underrated term, John. You should use it more. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Thoroughly. But he starts with calling her racist. This has been like his thing. He has these characterizations of people that he attacks. We know the ones he has for Senator Warren. That racist term he liked to use for her, and he still used it. It was at a rally a couple months ago. He's still using it.
Crazy.
So he has this, for some reason, he's connected Letitia James to being a racist, and he thinks that works with his followers. And therefore, anything that she says or does, all they have to do is call her a racist, and they'll go, that's right. All that money you defrauded the government of, all the money you stole from us, all the things that you've been doing, obviously, because you admitted to it, by the way, again, now she's a racist for actually wanting you to pay this kind of, or pay base consequences over this whole thing. But if I just call her a racist, it'll be fine. And then I'll go with peekaboo. I do need an explanation. I do need someone who represents him or who still defends him to go ahead and defend him. Because you can't defend him just partially. So when he says and does these things, that's why I'm always like, every Republican who is not openly and blatantly the way that Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have rejected this guy, every time you put your face in front of a camera, tweet something out, you should be asked immediately, do you agree with your president? Or you can say he's not your president, he's a stain on the country. Do you agree with him still? T.J. James is a racist. Do you agree that this is a nonsense investigation? Do you agree that he shouldn't pay these things? Do you agree that she's a peekaboo?
Whatever.
I just want to know, because everything he says, you must endorse, right? If you don't, you're not loyal, and he's going to kick you out of the party.
That is clear, definitely. So anyway, like I looked, he hasn't said down anything else. There's no denial that he did it. He had opportunities to deny and demonstrate that he hadn't done all this when he went and met with Letitia James, as we've previously talked about. Instead, he invoked the Fifth Amendment literally hundreds of times. And so this is like, I know maybe there's some MAGA people watching, and you definitely don't care that he committed all these crimes. I get that. Why wouldn't he just show that he hadn't done it? Since he didn't do it, obviously, because he's a good person. He's the best person. He's basically Jesus and Tom Hanks combined in one form. Why not prove that he didn't do it? Why not? Why not, as we're gonna turn to the classified document, why not prove that you didn't do it? Why not? Oh, it's because it's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt, so he doesn't have to, I guess. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. We're gonna wait to find out if the criminal referral is picked up, but certainly exciting breaking news to start off Big News Wednesday. Donald Trump and his legal team had an amazing plan when it came to the classified documents scandal. Get a special master, get the one they want, Raymond Deary. He's highly suspicious of the FBI. He's gonna protect them in lockstep, arm in arm with Judge Eileen Cannon, Trump's judge. Except apparently that's not working out very well, because for the first time yesterday, Trump's legal team had to meet with the special master, Raymond Deary. And one of his first requests to them was, I think, a pretty basic one, a pretty reasonable one. So you guys are implying that you have declassified these documents. I would love to see some evidence of that. And they said, we would prefer not to provide any. And he said, I don't know what we're supposed to do about this then, except that you need to. You need to. If this is supposed to be your defense, and if in particular you want us to dismiss this entire thing because no crime could be committed because all the documents are already declassified, then you need to actually prove that, specifically saying this is not a criminal case. The plaintiff has the burden of establishing his right to relief because this is a special process. If you are claiming that you can't be investigated in this particular way, then you need to actually demonstrate that. And so at this point, you have two sides. You have the DOJ saying these documents are classified. You have the Trump team implying that they might have been declassified, but they're not claiming that in court. Trump is claiming it in the court of like public opinion, but not claiming it in court. And so, okay, here is the competing evidence for those two sides. The DOJ has pointed to classification markings indicating the documents contain highly sensitive national security secrets. Trump's lawyers have refused to provide evidence of declassification. So, are they classified? Well, the DOJ points to the fact that yes, they're classified. And the Trump team says, we don't like how this process is going. And so Raymond Deary, apparently looking at the competing evidence, says, my view of it is you can't have your cake and eat it. If you're gonna claim that your defense is that the documents could be declassified, you need to actually demonstrate that. Raymond Deary sounding like us day after day after day, saying you gotta eventually put your cards on the table, buddy. And Raymond Deary finally says this, and this is just, there's nothing more I could want him to say. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of it.
Oh, he was supposed to be their savior. He was supposed to save them from this investigation.
But they are clearly demonstrating they have no defense. They can't prove that it was declassified. As a side note, as I've always pointed out, there are some of the documents that they literally couldn't have declassified, even if they had, and they definitely didn't. But for the others, dozens and dozens and dozens of documents, they've got nothing, JR. And Raymond Deary apparently is not buying their attempt to obscure that.
And they'll say it directly in court eventually. This is what they don't want to actually have to be faced with is proof, legal burden, maybe the law. Perjury, things like that. They can say it on Fox News. They can say it maybe not as much anymore. They can say it on Newsmax. They can say it on some random podcaster's show. And that's where their bread and butter is. That's where their proof is. It's based off just saying things. Once you actually have to prove it and say it in court, that's why you have, even after the election in 2020, which he lost, after that, then the proof has to come. They have all these accusations, and many people said, have at it with your accusations. We're confident in the results. And when those things actually see a court, that's when you start getting quick shutoffs from judges who go, this is it? Because they do take them seriously, because these are real proceedings. These are real injunctions or whatever it is that they're trying to do to stop the process, which they've been successful with, which with his judges that agree with him. But then once you actually have the burden of proof and they say things like, Your Honor, we have to prove what we're talking about. It's always worked. We can just say it's what it is and people believe us. This is why he can't keep any attorneys. And then he ends up with TV attorneys because they're like, yeah, I'll make that money because I've got nothing else going on now. But folks who actually want to continue practicing, unlike Rudy Giuliani, will continue to take this guy on so they can go and lie in front of in court and then get embarrassed like this. Yeah. But as long as we don't see or hear about it, the followers won't really know. I wish this was televised. It should be like way these criminal trials are for these folks who, you know, the Johnny Depp stuff. Why can't we see this in front of us every day?
Exactly. Yeah. If I could have two things, it'd be for it to be televised and for Trump to be defending himself. And it would just be absolutely delicious. But yeah, what did they think? That Deary was going to be like Sean Hannity? Like, usually we just say things and they agree with us. Why are you like asking questions? Anyway, that's all exciting. But this potentially is even spicier. Bearing in mind that I'm not a lawyer and I don't know anything, take a look at this. Deary did not make any determinations from the bench about who should get access to the documents, because Trump's team wants access to the documents again, but said, quote, let's not belittle the fact that we are dealing with at least potentially legitimately classified information. If I can make recommendations to Judge Cannon, right or wrong, without exposing myself or you to that material, I'm going to do it. So we already know that the timeline has been moved up from what was initially requested by Judge Cannon. So instead of the November 30th, it's going to happen by October 7th, which, side note, the Trump team also complained about in front of Deary. Like, no, don't do it so fast, buddy. You got to drag it out. It's hilarious. But he's apparently saying, he's implying at least, if you don't establish that this stuff has been declassified, and they are fairly reasonably demonstrating that the stuff that says it's classified is classified, then maybe we don't need to go through all of this. Maybe I can make recommendations, Eileen Cannon, without exposing myself or you to that highly classified, sensitive, national security related information. So I have no idea. Maybe this will take until the 7th. Maybe it'll take longer. But it looks like there's a chance that this thing could be wrapped up really soon and then sent back to Eileen Cannon. And then God only knows what she'll do. She's a complete crazy partisan. She's gonna do whatever Trump wants. But if his recommendation is, no, this is a legitimate investigation, the DOJ should start looking at these again, then that's gonna look really bad publicly, at least, JR.
Yo, this is what they didn't want. And that's the main point, I think, here. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier, earlier on Watchlist. The whole point is to delay, as we've seen it with other things regarding Trump and his legal issues. Whenever someone starts coming down on him, once the heat starts coming, all the processes are about then appeal, then delay, then move to the next judge. Maybe this judge will give me this type of this special master. Then we go to this step. The whole point is to delay long enough. You know, it's two things they keep talking about. There's ways to delay this. Then after that, the election. Look what's upcoming. 60 days till the election. October surprise. It's all consistently talking about ways to keep this from happening right now. Mm-hmm. Why is this moving so fast? What's the problem? And this particular judge, Raymond Deary here, was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to rush it, but this seems like there's something kind of important, right? Because he's thinking under normal circumstances, why would we stop and delay? People want to stop and delay, don't want to see the consequences. They want to hurry up and brush this under the rug or push it on to the next thing and then get to accusing someone else of something so they can get the heat off of them. And since that's the purpose, he's now cutting down that time frame and they're worried again.
Oh yeah. I'll just see him squirm. Oh. Okay, we got way more to get to. I think we're gonna continue on with the next bit of this block on the other side. We do have to take a break though. I want to respond to some of your comments, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're continuing on with the A block, right? Okay, let's get even wilder. We'll see. We'll finesse it a bit, Jer. Thank you. But yeah, let's jump into this. Sorry to the TD, I threw you off there. Donald Trump is facing a lawsuit. I'm not even talking about the Letitia James thing. This is a separate lawsuit. Do you remember E. Jean Carroll? That's the author who has previously alleged that former President Trump raped her in the mid 1990s. Has announced plans to sue him for battery under a new state law, according to court filings that were just made public yesterday. Carroll, a columnist for Elle, alleged that Trump pinned her against a wall in the dressing room in either 1995 or 1996, pulled down her tights, unzipped his pants, and sexually assaulted her. She claims that she fought back against Donald Trump and escaped relatively quickly. Now, the reason this lawsuit is being launched now is that she had previously been unable to pursue legal action for the alleged assault due to the state's statute of limitations. Now you have the Adult Survivors Act, which gives adult survivors of sexual misconduct a 1-year window to sue their abusers regardless of when the actual incident happened. That is allowing her to do this. She has requested a deposition to question Trump under oath. Bear in mind, there had already been a legal proceeding around, I believe it, defamation. When she had made these claims, he, in her words, defamed her in public about it, claiming that she was a liar. So that has been proceeding. Now you have a legal proceeding being launched about the actual assault. She is also asking for those two things to be combined. We'll see if that actually happens. And we'll also get to Trump's response. But JR, this is a bit of a throwback. E. Jean Carroll was, I'm gonna say, if I remember correctly, the 16th woman who specifically alleged that Donald Trump had sexually assaulted her, putting her in the middle of the pack, because at least 16 more came after that. But what do you think?
It's what I remember when this happened at first, and I couldn't figure out at the time why there was, it was like a 50-50 split, it seemed, at least from what I saw, of people paying attention to this and understanding the severity of it versus folks who were like, another one. And as you mentioned, 16 out of countless other accusations would make people think that way. But there's details here and there's things that she was pointing out and says that she has this proof of that was just being ignored. And I was like, this is really, really weird. And I'm glad there's at least some opportunity for her to get some kind of results and accountability for this. Because again, this is something you don't forget about. This is not something you just move on and, oh yeah, that was so many years ago. But there's one thing about the adult survivors thing as well is, you have a 1-year window from when? That isn't that sound a lot like the statute of limitations? 1-year window from the point you decide to talk about it? That should just mean you get a chance to bring this stuff back up and have an opportunity to have your day to get to your attackers in this particular situation. So I hope, again, and now we're in the middle of 14 of the lawsuits against Donald Trump and all of his associates. So I hope this doesn't get buried as well.
I hope not as well. I want to, of course, give a chance for the response from the Trump team. Alina Haba, Trump lawyer, who just recently settled her own lawsuit where an employee of hers alleged that she had frequently used the N-word as a way to pump herself up before court. Isn't that fun? Mm-hmm. Alina Haba responded by asking the judge to reject the request, which she said would be extraordinarily prejudicial to Trump. Trump has not specifically put out a statement, although when the initial allegations were made back in 2019, he responded, and this is not a joke, this is serious. His defense was, she's not my type. He said it's insane to think that he would have raped her because she's not his type. Leaving open, of course, the possibility that had she been his type, then maybe he would have raped her. But he doesn't find her attractive, so he didn't rape her. That's what the former president had to say about an allegation, a specific detailed allegation of sexual assault. So we'll see what happens.
Everyone who supports this guy, just imagine any woman that you love, any family member of your life says this happened to them. And then you say, but it can't be. He's totally not your type. Or you're totally not his type. Is that something you'd say?
I can't conceive of, like, I don't understand people who find any of this acceptable, but we're filled. We live in a land of madness. Ron DeSantis now facing another lawsuit and investigation. Three migrants who he spent Florida dollars on to ship from Texas to Massachusetts are now launching a class action lawsuit against him, seeking compensatory emotional distress and punitive damages for themselves, as well as the nearly 50 other migrants who have already been pulled into this extended political stunt by the obvious 2024, you know, aspirant Ron DeSantis. The suit was brought by the group Alianza Americas, a coalition of migrant advocacy groups throughout the US. They say that the defendants intentionally conspired to confine the individual plaintiffs to the aircraft that transported them to Martha's Vineyard, and that such actions impeded the migrants' participation in the federal immigration proceedings. They say, by the way, they escaped a humanitarian crisis in Venezuela only for DeSantis to use them as pawns in a political stunt. And by the way, what they're asking for, I think, seems very reasonable. Now, you'll hear like vague lies from the right wing about this, saying it's insane. They're asking for $75,000 each, and for DeSantis to stop doing this. That seems highly reasonable. But here's the thing, in this lawsuit, we get additional details about how they were lied to. So remember, DeSantis's defense, at least in his view, is these people consented to it, so it's okay. I want to read you some of these details, and you tell me if this matches your understanding of consent. So they say that those working to recruit migrants for the flights didn't disclose that they were working for or on behalf of the Florida government. Instead, they waited outside of shelters and claimed they worked for an anonymous benefactor. So they lied about who they were working for. One migrant was told he would be taken to DC or Boston alongside a dozen migrants. They were asked to sign a document in exchange for a gift card. I believe it was to McDonald's. The migrants were not told what the document was, and large portions were not translated into Spanish. So they chose people, in their own words, that were hungry, gave them the offer of food to sign a document that wasn't explained to them, and in many cases was not in the language they spoke. Absolutely insane. By the way, the portions of the document waiving liability and informing the migrants about their final destination were not translated into Spanish. So these are going to be really fascinating topics for the eventual judge to dive into, JR. But this is just looking so bad for Ron DeSantis. Multiple levels of intentional deception of these people.
But this guy will keep sticking his face in front of cameras and keep talking about the honorable things that he did to send folks around the country to prove this point. This sounds like a political stunt, right? It looks pretty political too, right? And he's gonna say it wasn't a stunt. This is real life. We're gonna show these people what's going on. Use taxpayer money, hundreds of what, millions of dollars at this point, probably.
It's gonna eventually be millions. It's already many hundreds of thousands.
For the many times that he's gonna be doing this, because it's not cheap, taxpayer money. Why do we always hear about conservatives that hate the way our tax money is spent? And if this is a partisan stunt, which it obviously is, because if you said it yourself, this isn't me saying it's a partisan thing. You said, I'm going to send this to those blue states and to those sanctuary cities, which means not yours, right? Because you wouldn't describe yours as a blue state, and you wouldn't describe your city as a sanctuary city. So that means you're sending it to your political opposition. This is a partisan move, even if you don't think it's a stunt. It's a partisan move to prove some kind of point, which isn't working out that well, by the way, so far.
No.
But if that's the thing, why should everybody's taxpayer money in Florida then be spent on your political stunt? Because there's plenty of people who don't like you in Florida, who don't want to support you, who don't want to pay for your political stunts. Do they get their money back? Do they get a chance to complain about how you're misusing their money? Or is it all just yours now? These kind of points aren't made enough, because we complain about how social programs that get paid for sometimes are siphoning from hardworking Americans who have nothing to do with this student loan forgiveness, SNAP benefits, welfare, things like that. I don't want to pay for that. That's not where my money going. I don't want my money going to wars. I don't want my money going to your political stunts. Do I get my money back?
I'm guessing no. Now, many conservatives in Florida are so beaten down and well trained by Republican media that they're fine with the dollars that should be going to benefiting them being spent to attack migrants in other states. But I think it's a pretty good question. That would be my question if I lived in Florida. By the way, I want to close this section with one quick thing. So what have we been talking about recently? The way that you know that something has worked against them. They say that, you know, a hit dog will holler. Well, we know what works. Anything that they immediately try to turn around and attack the other side with. So in response to this lawsuit, Taryn Feske, communications director for DeSantis, says it is opportunistic that activists would use illegal immigrants for political theater. Of course. So in the same way that Biden ran a political stunt by changing immigration laws, that's what DeSantis says. So you know the stunt thing hurts him. The political theater thing clearly hurts them because they're look, what can we turn around and say is political theater? What do we have? Literally anything. Let's just do it. It's so transparent. But anyway, I want to turn to one other quick aspect of this. Let's jump into this video and I'll explain.
In January and February of 2019, Donald Trump directed us to go and take immigrants from the border and quote, bus and dump them into Democratic cities and blue states. He wanted us to take immigrants from the border, take them into blue states and cities and put them in there, but he was much more specific. He wanted us to identify the murderers, the rapists, and the criminals, and in particular, make sure we did not incarcerate them and we put them in those cities. Okay, it doesn't take a lawyer or a genius to recognize this would likely be very illegal to do, but put aside the murderers and the rapists and the criminals, could you take people from the border and just dump them into blue states? We went and we asked the lawyers and they told us, no, the federal government cannot do that. Congress has not authorized that. And now look, these governors are walking into the same problem that we told the White House was illegal and they couldn't do, and now they're trying to do the same thing.
So that is Miles Taylor, who you might be familiar with. He is formerly of the Trump administration, became a big critic of the Trump administration in the later years. And bear in mind that he has been talking about this sort of thing on social media for a bit. Didn't initially come out with it when the requests were made by Trump. So let's just bear in mind all of that. But that, if that is true, if he can be trusted on this, is devastating. It is like so much clearly even worse than what Ron DeSantis did to intentionally send people you think or know to be murderers or rapists to murder and rape people in blue areas as a punishment against your political opponents is, I kind of want to say, the worst thing I've literally ever heard a politician do, I think. And that's what's being alleged. In any event though, I do have to apologize because I got something wrong earlier this week when we were talking about Donald Trump and how jealous he was, as you'll see in this, of DeSantis stealing his plan for shipping migrants. I thought that that was just Trump doing what Trump is gonna do, claiming that he came up with everything and how dare you take my idea. In this case, no, apparently Trump actually has a point. This was his idea and he had a purer, more cruel version of it. Ron DeSantis is doing something that's totally inhuman, but so far he hasn't been specifically looking for murderers. So I think Trump has a point. DeSantis is biting off of Trump style. JR, what do you think?
Serious illustration of a lack of consequences for certain folks. They're so detached from any kind of consequence or legal actions towards them that as they do it, again, they'll say right in front of everyone's face and announce it. Yeah, we broke the law. Hey, that guy broke the law that I was trying to break before my attorneys told me that I'm gonna be breaking the law. Usually you would say, whoa, glad I missed that one. Instead, it's, I can't believe he stole my idea. They don't think there will be any consequences for anything they do. So much so, they will announce they just committed crimes. I committed a crime. He stole my crime. They don't expect to actually be held accountable. Which is why when they begin to be held accountable, they start calling the folks that come after them peekaboos, as we heard earlier about Letitia James. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, look, I would have loved for this to be reported immediately when it happened. I would love, you know, if there is documented evidence of this that Miles Taylor can provide, I would love for that to be released. For all we know, it was just conversations. We do have to just take, you know, his word on faith, I guess, which I don't like doing in politics ever, let alone with someone who willingly, voluntarily worked for Donald Trump. But this is just another one that, like, we during one of our social breaks, someone asked, what are there, 20, 30 investigations of Trump? And like, no, but this is how crazy it is. This thing that we're talking about right now, we're gonna have to forget about by tomorrow, definitely by 2 days from now. It's not gonna be investigated. No. There's not gonna be any, like, we have a few things that maybe he'll suffer consequences for, but like apparently sending murderers to blue areas, we will never know the truth of that. There will never be consequences of that. Don't we live in an insane world? Okay, let's see, hold on. The Better Bundo book, the American Library Association. Okay, people are giving more information about these banned book clubs. Thank you for that, I do appreciate that. But with that, we need to turn to important news from around the world. Let's jump into this. What you're seeing there is footage from Iran, which is, as of today, in the fifth day of some amazing protests going on following a tragic death. 22-year-old woman died while being held by the morality police because she chose not to wear a hijab. This is Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old Kurdish woman from Western Iran. She was visiting the capital, taken into custody by them, and apparently assaulted. That is what is at question. Her head was apparently, according to what people are saying, smacked against a wall. She fell into a coma and eventually died. And protests have erupted. Now, there have been protests in Iran, but these are different in a couple different ways. One, almost universally appear to be led by women, incredibly brave women who are risking imprisonment or assault or death in doing what they're doing. The length and severity of the protests, we have 500 people already apparently arrested, 7 people killed in the protests so far. And so what you saw in that footage was protesters actually chasing away some of the security forces. And so we have a mix of people who are showing solidarity in the streets and also really fighting back. And I want to give you both of those. So let's jump first to, I believe we have some footage of women risking everything, dancing in the streets during the protest. That is just amazing. I mean, I worry, I fear for those women, for all of the women that are protesting and have been for days. But doing that, dancing, throwing the hijabs that you don't want to be obligated by threat of force or imprisonment to wear into a fire. And of course, then you have the people trying to stop the security forces from doing these crackdowns. Take a look at this. Absolutely brutal the way that they're fighting back. And of course, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anybody being beaten, protester or the forces trying to oppress them. I would ideally like to have a free society where people can live their lives the way they want to. But unfortunately, that is not the status quo. And people in Iran just aren't going to take it. JR, what do you think?
This is it stands out a lot because of the way I think we see other countries and oppressive rules and laws and things like this. We just kind of see this. Oh, that's what happens there. Everybody's fine with it. In fact, all these victims of it are cool with it too. So when you see the things actually change, when you actually see pushback, protests, uprising against these authority figures who have been put there to violently keep things the way that they always are, or even this assumption that every woman wants to dress like this. I'm sure many do, but folks who don't, we just figure, oh, they're fine with it. So when we see this, this stands out to us more because we have this detached nature, the way we see other countries in the world, and especially when it comes to women's rights, things like this. So this made me think about it as I saw this all happening. Throughout history, society changes and the way that we approach things change. My kid watches these oversimplified videos about historical events. And many times way, way, way back when people saw, you know, you got kings, you got queens, you got that royal family in this country, you got this Roman Empire, and many regular common folks just said, that's just the way life is. This is existence on this earth. So as we see things change, even in our own country, the pushback to it ends up getting very angry, very violent, and very scary because the powers that be never want to let that go. So as you see this type of thing happen, it's surprising, and it's not like the folks that were filming from that above head shot of regular citizens, men fighting for women that are being oppressed in this way. It's startling. People don't expect it. I'm glad that it's something 100%. That maybe is gonna be expected a little bit more. And the folks that push this type of stuff will be on notice that people aren't accepting it the same way it was. Society's changed, the way that we see life and the way people's positions in it change. Hopefully it's the beginning of it, you know, at least in this particular world. And also in our country, we're trying to go backwards, by the way.
Well, I mean, both things are happening at the same time. Society is changing and more people aren't going to accept it. But you have that, perhaps because of that, that knee-jerk reaction trying to clamp down on those rights. I mean, just briefly here in the US, obviously, the stuff about like the LGBTQ like teachers and stuff like that, that affects everybody, but heavily is targeted against women. Just the question of who gets to be a woman in America is the war that they want to fight, that they want to attack on, and we can't allow it. And you see here that they're not allowing it either. I wanna go now to a bit of video. This is a US-based actress talking about the situation there. Nazanin Boniadi, of most recently of Rings of Power, talking about the situation. Listen to this.
I think before 1979, when women had the freedom to choose, you saw a coexistence of women who chose to wear the hijab and women who didn't wear the hijab coexisting peacefully together. There was a freedom of choice, and that's what we're fighting for. I think to call it a cultural dress code of kinds, at which the former foreign minister Zarif and countless other Iranian officials have tried to sort of tell the wide world, the global public, that's a myth, that's a lie. Because what kind of cultural norm has to be controlled through batons and through threat of death and imprisonment? You don't need to subjugate people for a cultural norm to exist if the majority of women actually chose the hijab. But what you're seeing is people risking their lives. You're seeing people taking to the streets and risking imprisonment. And in Mahsa's case, her head was bludgeoned against a wall and she went into a coma and died.
And she pointed out that there are celebrities inside of Iran, female celebrities who are taking it off and again, risking potentially losing their careers, losing their life. And it does make me feel about like we're told similar sorts of things here about traditional family structures and traditional gender roles. Well, if it's such a cultural hallmark of our society, why do you need to enforce it through the law, through the threat of violence, whether state-based violence or just whoever Tucker Carlson sends after you on a particular day? It seems like it's not such a deep-seated societal thing if you have to fight so hard to keep it that way. But anyway, I love that you have you have regular people on the streets, you have celebrities inside of Iran here in the US speaking up for them, putting pressure on, for instance, Antony Blinken putting out a statement, the UN now saying that they're pushing for an investigation, which Iran says they're doing. It's been 5 days. You got cameras in there. They sure seem to be taking their sweet time, JR. But anyway, I'm glad that that pressure is being put on them, and hopefully we'll have, I don't know, we'll see. We'll have whatever I guess Iran's government is going to allow, as long as Iran's government stands.
It's scary times, man. Hope that it gets much better quickly,
yeah, man.
It's brave stuff.
So, anyway, massive credit to the incredibly brave people in the streets. With that said, that is all the time we have for the first hour of our show. Thank you everyone watching on the linear platforms or on the podcast. There's a lot more to come in the aftermath though, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.